The sixth attribute in Maqam-e Akhlaq is to fulfill the rights of one neighbor. This is a very sensitive topic, and on the basis of this, it may even be determined whether a person will be Sa'id or will be Shaqi. And there are many of us who are very neglectful and negligent of the rights of the neighbor. And in Allah Ta'ala's regard, there's so much importance and value to this. So we should reflect deeply on this matter. In Hadith, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that person who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Day of Judgment, then he should honor his neighbor. And he should do ikram and honor his neighbor. What does that mean? It means, first of all, the person with iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last day. So person who is a believer, that they have yaqeen that on the Day of Judgment I'm going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and meet Him. So that person, what does it mean in this hadith to be a mu'min? That person with yaqeen that on the Day of Judgment I'm going to meet Allah ta'ala. Therefore here there's no mention of the other articles of faith such as prophethood or angels or books. Simply that person who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believes in the last day. So they're certain that Allah ta'ala exists, and they're certain about the fact that they're going to have to meet Allah ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. Notice, anyone who wants to show his face to Allah ta'ala on the Day of Judgment should do ikram of the neighbor, should be honorable to the neighbor. If he will do ikram, then he will have a good meeting with Allah Ta'ala. And if he doesn't do ikram with the neighbor, he will not have a good meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it comes in one hadith that he should have do ihsan to his neighbor. He should treat his neighbor in the best of manners. And another hadith is that he should not bring any harm or hurt to his neighbor. And Allah Ta'ala gave so many rights of the neighbor that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah Ta'ala revealed to me so much the importance of the rights of the neighbor. So when Jibreel Islam came to me so many times to tell me about the right of the neighbor, so I started to think that now the next thing that I will be told is that after a person dies, the neighbor will also get a share inheritance. Who is joined? Who gets a share inheritance? Those are the children and the parents, children and family members and relatives. So the Prophet even thought that maybe Allah Ta'ala is going to include the neighbor in the inheritance. That gives you an idea of how much the Deen of Islam stress the rights of the neighbor. And to keep the neighbor happy and to be on good terms with them, that will make a person's iman shine. Sayyidina Rasulullah said that you should have beautiful and excellent relations with your neighbor, then you will become a mu'min. So what does that mean? That it means that the literal meaning of this hadith would be that until we have beautiful, good relations with the neighbor, we won't become a mu'min. So our becoming a mu'min is dependent on our having good relations with the neighbor. And then the next thing the Prophet ﷺ said is even more intense. He said that that person who states that he loves Allah Ta'ala and he loves the Prophet ﷺ, that person must treat the neighbor well. That person who is happy that Allah Ta'ala and the Prophet ﷺ will love them. If that person wants that Allah Ta'ala and the Prophet ﷺ should love them, or if he likes the idea that Allah Ta'ala and the Prophet ﷺ will love me, it means that if he wants to become the beloved of Allah Ta'ala and the beloved of the Prophet ﷺ, then he should be on wonderful relations with his neighbor. So that means the person who is on good relation with the neighbor, he is become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. the person who was not on good relations with the neighbor, and the person who is on good relations with the neighbor, Allah Ta'ala put barakah in their life. It comes in a deed that treating the neighbor well and mending the family ties, mending and maintaining family ties, and being of good character, so being good to the neighbor, having sila rahmi, and having good akhlaq, from these things then the settlements and cities are populated, and Allah Ta'ala gives barakah in lifespans. So that person who has good relation with his neighbors and his relatives and has good character, then these three things will put barakah in his life and his lifespan. Then Sayyidina Rasulullah said that the best neighbor in the regard of Allah Ta'ala is that person who is the on best relations with his neighbor. In this there is one amazing point. Once a person came to the Prophet ﷺ, and this is in the Mustadrak of Hakim, and he asked the Prophet ﷺ that how can I tell that I am a pious person? How will I be able to determine if I am a pious, virtuous person? So Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ told him that you should ask your neighbor. If your neighbor says you are pious and virtuous, you are pious and virtuous. And it comes in hadith that person who three of his neighbors are happy with him, because normally a person has the road on one side and neighbors on the other three sides, so that person whose three neighbors are happy with them, then and he dies in such a state that all three neighbors are happy with him, then Allah Ta'ala's promise is to forgive all of his sins. So now look, that forgiveness of all sins will be the reward for being on good terms with the neighbors. And Azadi says that the next hadith, whenever I read it in my life, I would be amazed by it, that I would sell myself for this hadith, that on the day of judgment Allah Ta'ala will call a person and ask them that I was hungry, you didn't feed me, and I was thirsty and you didn't give me water, and I was sick and you never came to ask about me. And so the person is amazed that, oh Allah Ta'ala, you don't eat and you don't need to drink, you are pure and above and beyond any such need. How can you ask this question? So that Allah Ta'ala says that at this time your neighbor was hungry, if you had fed your neighbor at that time, it would have been as if you had fed me. If you had given him water to drink, it would be as if that you had given me water. If you had visited him when he was sick, it would have been as if you had inquired about me. So now let's think on this hadith, that what more could Allah Ta'ala present to us in our deen? That Allah Ta'ala himself is saying that you need to feed the neighbor is equal to feeding me, giving him water is like giving water to me, and inquiring and looking after him when he's sick is like inquiring after me. So from these hadith, we learn the rights of the neighbor over us and how important it is in our Sharia. Then the Sharia has given further details about this. That you should be very careful in your dealings and fear Allah Ta'ala in regards to your neighbor and regards to your employees and underlings. In another deed it comes that it is from the happiness and joy of a person that they get a good neighbor. Another hadith comes that the sacred nature, sacred, the izzat, the honor of a neighbor with another neighbor is just like the honor of a father over a son. In other words, you have to have as much honor for the neighbor as you have honor for your father. And it comes in hadith. That whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends khair and good and virtue for them, Allah ta'ala makes them of a sweet temperament. So the Sahaba asked that, O Surah Sam, what does it mean that he makes them sweet? So the Prophet responded that Allah ta'ala makes that person beloved to his neighbors. In other words, that person who the neighbors love is called sweet in the regard of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that person, Allah ta'ala, will give them khair. This is the mercy of Allah ta'ala. If Allah ta'ala gives somebody such good akhlaq, such good character, that the neighbor starts loving them. In one hadith it is mentioned, and if any woman, she is about to cook some food, prepare some food, then she should add a little bit extra water, and that extra gravy that comes in the dish, then she should send some of the extra food to the neighbor. And this is a very small thing. But if you made a good dish, send part of it to the neighbor. If somebody brought you a lot of fruit, send a bit to the neighbor. It doesn't mean you have to do it every day, but every now and then, so that the ties are continually refreshed and the love is further strengthened. The Sharia has liked this, that if people are living in a neighborhood, then the neighbors in that neighborhood should have love for one another. There should be a happy living community. Because obviously we have good relations with our relatives and we do naturally have love for the family. But the believer is that one, that even if the person is not their family member, but just because they're their neighbor, they have a relationship with them. So the Sharia has taught us how to establish a community in which every neighbor who is associated in that community has mutual love for one another. And normally people think that neighbor means the person who is in the left, right, front and back. But in the Sharia, a neighbor has a much broader meaning. And that is 40 houses in all directions. So the left 40 numbers down the lane, to right 40 numbers, and behind and front. So that means basically then your whole little neighborhood is your neighbor. So that's why in the whole neighborhood a person has to be a good person. That these are those principles that our beloved Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us. If he had never told this, a human being's mind would never have gone in this direction, that my neighbor is somebody who's 40 houses down from me in all four directions. So if there was any neighborhood established on these Islamic principles, that neighborhood would appear to be a neighborhood of Jannah. In foreign countries, they don't have this concept. They just have this, that don't make noise and don't, so that the neighbor doesn't complain. Don't do this, don't do anything so the neighbor doesn't complain. Don't stop their comfort and don't bring them harm. But there's no mention of being loving with them, being caring for them, to inquire about them when they're sick. There's no concept there. It's just do not disturb. There's nothing more to the relationship. There was once a person, he lived in one of these Western countries. And he was a young man and he had completed his studies. And after some time, his uncle went to go meet him. And the uncle had mango orchards. So he told his brother that, oh, the father said to the uncle that, oh, take these mangoes for my son. You're going to visit him in that country. And this is the way people are, they like to send food. So he sent a whole crate of mangoes for his son. So when the uncle came and gave his nephew this crate of mangoes, and oh, your father sent this from his own mango orchard. And then he gave some mangoes to the left neighbor and to the neighbor on the right. Then a little while later, the doorbell rang. And so he came out and he saw both of the neighbors were standing there. So they said, you sent these mangoes, they're very tasty, but you didn't send us the bill. And this is, that's one type of society where there's no concept at all of a neighbor being loving and friendly to another neighbor. And then there's another society where once there was a person who went from his country and there were a lot of good fruit in that country. And he took the fruit with him to Pakistan. And when he came to Pakistan, so then he told his household that these are the fruits from my country. And there was a guest visiting that household from Delhi, India. And he was about to leave. And they thought that, oh, well, we use fruit. Why don't we give this fruit that this person has brought from another country here to us in Pakistan? Let's give it to this guest visiting from Delhi, India. He can take them onward to India. So that guest, he took that crate and he went to Delhi. Crate of fruit. Then when he went to Delhi and he brought that crate of fruit to that home, the owner of that home, she opened the crate and she saw that, what type of fruit is it? And she saw that it's very good quality fruit. And she had a neighbor who was visiting her at that moment. And the neighbor also saw that, wow, that's very good fruit. So the owner of the home said, okay, why don't you take it? And you have children, and why don't you feed it? So the crate went from one country to another country. Then it went from a second country, third country. And then from there, it went from one home to another home who was a widow, so that she could give it to her children. So this is all. This is a slum. So tell us, what is called real humanity? So the deen of Islam is a beautiful deen. If only we were to start practicing it, if we were to practice it, then all of our problems would go away. So if we feel that all over the world there are problems, the world is full of problems, that's because we have left the teachings of deen, and that's why we're in problem. And what do? We only follow those parts of the deen that we think are beneficial for us and that we like. And anything that we don't like or we can't see as benefits, we leave those teachings of deen. So our Islam is not total. Our Islam is whatever we want. We're not following Islam in entirety and perfectly, and that's why we have lots of problems. So it comes in hadith. Sayyidina Rasulullah said, that that person is not a believer who fills his stomach while his neighbor remains hungry. That person is not a believer. That person does not truly believe if he fills the stomach while his neighbor's stomach remains hungry. Sayyidina Rasulullah said, a Sahaba came to the Prophet and said, that, O Prophet, I have two neighbors. And which one should I give first of the two neighbors? So the Prophet said, whichever one is closest to you, whichever one's door is closest to your door, you should start with that one. So it means that even within the 40 levels of neighbors, the neighbor that is closest to us has more of a right on us. Then another hadith. If in your home, and the child of a neighbor comes to you, then it's good that you should give something to eat in his hand. Because this is an act that by giving him some food in his hand, this will increase the mawadda and love and affection that you have between neighbors. So if the child of a neighbor comes to your house, you should give him something to eat. And on the Day of Judgment, the first claim that will be filed will be the neighbor against a neighbor. It comes in a hadith that the first case on the Day of Judgment will be a case to settle the dispute between two neighbors. And then there's in a hadith that there will be one person who has a lot of good deeds, and he would be otherwise worthy of going to Jannah, but he won't be able to go. So it will be asked of him that why weren't you able to go, and he said that the neighbors will say, why? Because the neighbor said about him that he always kept his door closed for me and he would never ever send anything my way. And he was so ignorant of the noble attributes and virtue that you can see that the neighbor is hungry and you yourself eat a full stomach. So this is the sign of the ignorance of maqam akhlaq. So there are three types of neighbors. One is a neighbor, second a believer, and third is a relative. So one is the right of a neighbor, one is the right of a relative, and one is the right of a believer. So sometimes a neighbor may be all three of these things. They may be two of these things. So if all three would mean they're both a neighbor and a believer and your relative. And there may be some neighbors who only have one right, that they're an unbeliever, but they're your neighbor, so they still have one right over you. So even an unbeliever neighbor has rights over you. So imagine if the neighbor is your family member and is a believer on top of that. So they have triple right over you. So much so that if that neighbor is a sinner, even then you have to treat that neighbor, you must necessarily treat that neighbor well. And whatever his affair is between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but as far as you are concerned, he is still your neighbor. And whether it's Jew or whether it's Christian, however it is, they are your neighbor and you have to treat them well. Mujahid Rimullah said that I went to go meet Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, and his slave was at that moment slaughtering a goat. So I asked the slave that I heard Abdullah bin Umar say to the slave that when you slaughter the goat, make sure you give some to the neighbor. Then a bit of time passed, and then Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma repeated this three times. So then the person was sitting. Then how many times are you going to mention the Jew who is the neighbor that you want me to give him? So he said that no, our reason is that because I heard Sayyidina Rasulullah, he said that the neighbor has been given so many rights that the Prophet ﷺ said that it has been revealed to me so much about the neighbor's rights that I began to think that perhaps the next thing that would be revealed to me is that the neighbor has a right in inheritance.
A
It comes in hadith that if a person is making a house in your neighborhood and he wants to put some beam on his wall, on your wall, in order to place his roof, you shouldn't say no to him, and you should let him do that. It comes in hadith that to protect the modesty and chastity of the women of the neighbors is as necessary for them as he would protect the modesty and chastity of the women of his own house. Ibn Abbas said that there were three things that were good about the age of Jahiliyyah, the age of ignorance. That even the idolater and unbeliever, mushrik and kafir, had these good attributes. The first was that they used to be very gracious hosts to the guests. Second, that they would never divorce an old woman. If a woman had been spending the life with the husband and given him children in old age, they would never divorce her in her mature age. And indeed, this is a very great injustice that she's invested her whole youth in you, and now in old age you are divorcing her. So that is a terrible thing to do. So that's against humanity to do that. So this was the second good thing about the Arabs in the age of ignorance, that they didn't divorce old women. And third, they would help the neighbors in repaying the loans that were due on them. So these were three things that unbelievers used to do, even... Can you imagine then how much the teachings of Islam would ask us to do? And then there's lots of bad tidings given to the bad neighbor. The Prophet said in hadith, so that person who is a bad neighbor and harms their neighbor, then Allah Ta'ala will curse that person. And it comes in hadith that Sayyidina Rasulullah was told that, O Prophet, that so and so he spends all night in salah and she fasts during the day. But she misuses her tongue with her neighbors and she's arguing and fighting with her neighbors. So the Prophet said that she is from the women of Jahannam. Even though she prayed all night and even though she fasted all day, but what was the problem? That she used to misuse her tongue with the neighbors. So the Prophet said that she is a woman from the women of hellfire. It comes in hadith that from the signs of the Day of Judgment is that there will be bad neighbors and they will break their bonds with the relatives and family. So what we talked about yesterday, Sila Rahmi, similar related to that, and also related to tonight's topic about being good to neighbors. These two things going away, these are signs of the coming of the Day of Judgment. That a person does not maintain and mend family ties, and that a person does not have good relations with their neighbors. In a hadith, Sayyidina Rasulullah, that Allah Ta'ala loves that person who, when their neighbor is bad and the neighbor harms them and hurts them, but still the person has sabr and is patient, Allah Ta'ala will love that person for this patience. Comes in a hadith that Sayyidina Rasulullah was asked, then what is the greatest sin? What is the greatest sin? And Sayyidina Rasulullah responded that you do shirk, associate a partner with Allah Ta'ala, when it was Allah Ta'ala who created you in the first place. And then the questioner said, and I asked the Prophet, so okay, what's the next greatest sin after this? Then the Prophet said, that you kill your children because you're worried that they will share in your meal. It means they will share in the household income. So people used to spend, they used to kill children, they used to do abortion for this reason, that where will we get the money to raise this child? So anybody who did that with this niyyah, this intention, Allah Ta'ala said that after shirk, this is the next greatest sin. Then the Sahabi said, okay, what's the third greatest sin? And the Prophet said that you commit zina with the wife of your neighbor. This is the third biggest sin that you can do. Abdullah bin Umar radhiyallahu anhu said that there are seven people that on the day of judgment Allah Ta'ala will not speak to them at all, nor will Allah Ta'ala forgive them for their sins. Allah Ta'ala will send them straight to Jahannam. The first is the person, the homosexual. Second is the one who does improper acts with animal. Third, fourth is the one who approaches a woman from the wrong direction. Fifth is the one who joins a mother and daughter together in nikah and marries a mother and daughter simultaneously. The Sufyan al-Thawri said that if there's a person who knows how to read Quran but doesn't read 100 ayahs a day, that is zulm. He enters into the masjid but doesn't pray two rakats and leaves the masjid, that is zulm. And he passes by the grave and he doesn't make any dua for the people and the Muslims in the grave, that is zulm. Zulm means oppression. And there's an alim living amongst the people and they don't benefit from his ilm, that is zulm. If there are two people who are traveling on the same path and they don't even bother to ask one another their name, this is also zulm. So at least, at the very least, you should ask one another one's name. And on Friday, the person is in the city, but they don't show up for Jummah Salah. If a Muslim invites you and you don't accept the invitation, that is also zulm. That a person wastes their youth and don't get the knowledge of deen, that is also zulm. And last thing, Sufyan al-Thawri said, that they eat to their fill while their neighbor remains hungry, that is also zulm. So listen to the rights of, what are the rights of the neighbors? The Prophet said that one Sahaba asked the Prophet that what is the right of the neighbor over me? So the Prophet replied, that if he's sick, you should go visit him and inquire about him. And if he dies, then you should be sure that you are present in his janazah. That if he asks you for a loan, you should give a loan to him. And if he gets any good news in his life, then you should give him congratulations, to congratulate him on any good turn in his life. If any difficulty or worry afflicts him, then you should share in his sadness and despair over that worry and try to remove his sadness and worry. And that you don't raise your wall higher than his wall. And so when you're making a house, then however high his wall is, your wall should be the same height. Because if your wall is higher than his wall, then that will spoil the wind flow to his windows. And that will be of harm to him, that you messed up his flow of air. And if he's needy and asks you for a loan, extend him the loan. If he calls you out of need, you must respond to his call. If he's sick, you should visit him. If he needs help, you should help him. If he's in pain, you should go visit him to offer your condolences. If he gets any good news, you should make sure to congratulate him. If when he dies, you should be there in his janazah. If he leaves his home to travel, you should protect his mother and you should protect his wealth. Our elders, how much care did they take of the neighbors? Listen to a few events in this regard. It comes in hadith that Sayyidina Rasulullah said that I swear in the name of that Allah Ta'ala in whose control lies the taking of my life. So Sayyidina Rasulullah took such a big oath, and then he said that, oh, I swear to Allah Ta'ala in whose hand lies the power of taking my life, the only person who can ever fulfill the rights of the neighbor is that one who Allah Ta'ala gives them rahmah and guides them how to do that. Otherwise, on our own, it's not possible. We could do anything and everything, but it's not possible on our own. And today, we don't even know who our neighbors are. Who lives on the left? Who lives on the right? We're not interested. We think, why does this concern us? But it is part of our deen. There was once a wali in his home. There were mice. And sometimes it happens if they have really good food at home, then a lot of guests gather together. And guests are the mice. So there were a lot of mice. And so somebody told him, why don't you keep a cat? So the cat can keep the mice away. So he said that I won't keep a cat because the cat will make the mice go away and then the mice will go to the neighbor's house. So that's why I don't keep a cat, because I don't want to drive the mice away to the neighbor's house. That's how much respect he had for the neighbor. Once there was a neighbor, and the neighbor, another neighbor wanted to buy their house. Abdullah bin Tahir was a wali of Allah Ta'ala, and he saw that once at my neighbor, somebody has come to buy their house from my neighbor. And he's telling them that, oh, I'll pay you whatever price you want, just give me your house, sell your house to me. So the neighbor replied and said, look, I would sell my house to you, but I can never sell to you the value of being the neighbor of Abdullah bin Tahir Abdali. So when he saw that my neighbor says that it's priceless to be the neighbor of Abdullah bin Tahir, that I do need money, but I can't sell the house to you, because how can I give up being the neighbor of Abdullah bin Tahir? So Abdullah bin Tahir called that woman and he asked her, then how many children do you have? And she said, I have 4 daughters. So then what did he do? He went and he looked for 4 suitable matches and he got those 4 daughters married off, and every daughter he gave her a lot of money and sent her off to her new home. So he took care and arranged the marriage and expenses of 4 of his neighbor's daughters. So our elders took so much care of their neighbors. And in that day and age, that you had to give the woman 100,000 dinar as part of her bridal gift. And he didn't reduce it at all. He got his 4 daughters married in exactly the same manner in which he had gotten his own daughter married. So think how wonderful neighbors our elders were. May Allah Ta'ala give us such wonderful neighbors in this world and in the Akhirah. Abdullah bin Mubarak, there was a house in his neighborhood that somebody came to buy that house. So he asked the seller, owner of the house, how much do you want to sell it for? So for example, he said 200,000 dinars. So 2,000 dinars. So the buyer said to the owner that, no, this type of house in this neighborhood should go for 1,000. You're asking double price. And the owner of the house said, yes, 1,000 dinar is the price for the land and the house, and 1,000 dinar is the price for being the neighbor of Abdullah ibn Mubarak. So in this day and age, in that time, we were so good that the real estate value of our neighborhoods was higher. And indeed, if a person does amal on the teachings of the Prophet, then surely we will become a good member of society, a good member of the home, we will become a good human being, and we will be a good member of humanity. May Allah Ta'ala make us amongst His beloved and accepted servants and slaves. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Make Raqamah.
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأولين والآخرين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين
Allah forgive our shortcomings. Allah Ta'ala conceal our faults. And then make we outwardly we appear to be your servants. In reality we are your sinning servants. And we can remove our inner sin, purify our hands, and purify our hearts. And we can fill our heart with love for you. And we can ignite the flame of love for you. And from the depth of our being, Allah, fill us with your love. And we can fill us with your zikr. And forgive us for the sins that we did in the day. Forgive us for the sins that we did at night. Allah, forgive us for the sins that we did secretly. Forgive us for the sins that we did publicly. And forgive us for the sins that we remember. Forgive us for the sins that we didn't even forgotten that we did them. And we are just like the brothers of Saint Yusuf alayhi salam, who had brought little money, but they wanted the whole harvest. We also don't have enough well amal, but we want the whole sawab from you. And the Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers, they didn't even have iman in their brother as a prophet. Still, Saint Yusuf alayhi salam forgave them. And he said that, oh my brothers, after today, nobody will ask you anything. You are forgiven, and everything is waived on this day. Similarly, Sayyidina Rasulullah, he told the Kuffar the same thing, and I forgive you for all the bloodshed that you did. There's so many people here. Each and every one of us has iman in the Prophet, and you are even more kareem than Islam, and more kareem than the Prophet. Ya Allah, you also now that all people, I have forgiven you. If you don't want to forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive us, Ya Allah. Give us, Ya Allah. And in the name we are rotten, we are sinful, we are evil, but Ya Allah, we are from the Ummah of your beloved Prophet. Ya Allah, we ask you to take this into account and forgive us for our sins. You said in the Quran that as far as the don't turn away the beggar. Ya Allah, you told weak people like us not to turn away those who ask of us. Ya Allah, we are asking of you, we are pleading from you, we are begging from you. Ya Allah, don't raise us back empty handed. And you said in the Quran, O humanity, each and everyone who is a fakir towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another place you said in the Quran that indeed sadaqah is for the people who are fakir. Ya Allah, we are all fakir in different levels. Ya Allah, forgive us and give us. Don't look at how we are making dua. Ya Allah, look at the fact that we are simply turning to you. We don't know the etiquettes of dua. Ya Allah, grant us everything, whether we ask for it or not. Ya Allah, grant us according to your majesty and your beauty. Ya Allah, if that person responds, If a person asked an ordinary person for money, they would give a few dollars. If they were to ask a rich person, he would give even more. If he was to ask an even more rich person, he would say, I would give even more. So everybody gives according to their ability. But Ya Allah, we're looking at your unlimited treasures, at your pre-eternal, eternal treasures. And that's why we're asking from you, that Ya Allah, you should send your mercy on us. Ya Allah, all of the kingdoms of the world and all of the palaces mean nothing to you. We've seen in this world that if, even if a person is very stingy and a person goes to them and all they ask is for $1, then they will say that you came all the way just for this, so he will give them $1. Allah, you are much more kareem, you are the most generous of the generous ones, the most gracious of the gracious ones. Don't let any one of us walk away empty handed. Ya Allah, this is one of the nights of Ramadan. This masjid is your home. Ya Allah, your highest servants are here. Ya Allah, everything is here. Ya Allah, be kareem to accept our du'as. Please accept our du'a. Please accept our du'a. Ya Allah, we saw in this world that if a person becomes sick, becomes dirty, the child doesn't throw the dirty child away. He doesn't shy away from his impurity. She cleans him of his filth. She puts new clothing on him. Just like that, Allah, due to our sins, we have become dirty. Ya Allah, but the Prophet said that a mother is 70 times more compassionate. That Allah Ta'ala is 70 times more compassionate than the mother. That Ya Allah, you are more compassionate than all the mothers in the world. Ya Allah, forgive us for all of our sins. Ya Allah, just cast one gaze of mercy on our heart. Ya Allah, we get a fear in our heart by making this dua. Lest you respond and say that, oh people, my mercy used to come on people like Bilal, on people such as Sumayya. I used to cast my gaze of rahmah on people like that. Ya Rabbi Kareem, but we have no one except for you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask that you honor the nisbat that we have. And in the name of this nisbat, forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive each and every one of us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the disbelievers are mocking the believers and saying, where is your Allah? How come he doesn't come to your help? Ya Allah, truly we have no ability, no power, we have no skill. Ya Allah, all we have is du'as that we beg for you to send your help. Ya Allah, have rahmat and mercy on the gathering. And all of those who have any worry, remove their worry, ease their difficulties. Those who are disturbed because of their children, make the children the coolness of their eyes. Those who are worried about their wealth and earning, grant them rizq halal adayim. Let them fulfill their stuck deeds that are stuck. And those homes in which they are marriageable, men and women, make them easy for the parents to find a lawful deeni spouse. Ya Allah, those who don't have children, grant them children. Those who have children, let them do the tarbiyah to make them pious, make them the coolness of their parents' eyes. Ya Allah, whatever we ask, grant it to us. And what we didn't ask, but we should have asked, grant that to us as well. Ya Allah, Bikreem, let us get the most benefit we can from these days and nights of the end of Ramadan, that we have traveled from far away places to be in the suhbah of our Shaykh. Ya Allah, let's all get maximum benefit from it. Protect us and save us from doing any lack of adab. And Ya Allah, give Hazrati a tremendous reward from our part only as you and you know how to give. Ya Allah, we ask that you keep us in your hifaza and you keep us in his shade. Ya Allah, we ask that you preserve all of the madaris and the ulums. And Ya Allah, we ask that you preserve the work of Dawud Tabliq. Ya Allah, those who are willing to give their lives to the deen of Islam, we ask that you honor that work as well. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.